Morning to everybody again this morning. Welcome back to God's house. You know, as I studied this week, the subject on my mind is redemption. You know, I think a lot of God's people don't understand what redemption means, what to redeem something means. You know, when you think about you're going to redeem something, by the definition I'm going to use this morning, I'm going to define to redeem or redemption, the act of redeeming, is to liberate by payment of ransom. Now, if you're going to liberate something, that means something's under bondage, something's captive. And if you're going to liberate it by ransom, that means it's going to take a price to liberate it. If I go to the store, and I love to go to Academy, if there's something I want, when I go in there, I have to pay a price before I can bring it home with me. By law, I have to pay a price before I can bring it home with me. The subject of redemption. Story of redemption. It's our story. It's our story. Bride of Christ, you've been bought. You've been redeemed by a price. By a precious price. You are a purchased possession. It's taught over and over again from the beginning of God's Word to the end. Story of redemption. You know, if we turn back to Exodus in chapter 13, we're going to find that this chapter takes place after the Passover. After God had brought the children of Israel out of Egypt by the blood of the Lamb and by a mighty hand. See, those children of Israel, God had told them to put the blood of the Lamb over the doorpost that he might pass over. That their firstborn and the firstborn of their creatures and beasts wouldn't die. And because that blood was spread on the doorpost and on the sides, we see that God passed over and that plague was not to the children of Israel. In verse 13, God's instituting something here once he's brought them out of Egypt. In verse 11, it says, "And it shall be when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites, as he sware unto thee." When I bring you into the promised land, "and to thy fathers, and shall give it thee, that thou shalt set apart unto the Lord all that openeth the matrix, and every firstling that cometh of a beast which thou hast, the males shall be the Lord's. And every firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb. And if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break his neck. And all the firstborn of man among thy children shalt thou redeem." We see here before they go into the land of Canaan that God is instituting a law, a commandment unto them. He's saying that every firstborn of the children of Israel, every firstborn of the beast, of the ass that it says here, that they will be the Lord's. In order to redeem them from that purpose, then the redemption price is a lamb. It says, "And every firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb. And if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break his neck. And all the firstborn of man among thy children shalt thou redeem. So God's instituting of redemption here. See, the firstborn of the children of Israel are to be redeemed with the lamb in order to fulfill and to liberate them from the commandment and the law of God. See, from the very beginning, the price of redemption was a lamb. Blood of the lamb. You know, I see a lot of things in these verses. It talks about the firstborn of the children of Israel, but it also talks about the firstborn, the firstlings of an ass. That's a donkey. You know, I remember one time, my Uncle Russell was joking with my Aunt Sandra, and they were passing down the road. Now, I don't know if this is true or if it's just a joke Uncle Russell was telling me. He said they passed a donkey, and he told Aunt Sandra, says, "Look, there's some of your kinfolk." And Aunt Sandra was pretty quick. She says, "Yeah, by marriage." See, when I read that "as" here in this verse, I see some of my kinfolk. See, to the Jewish people, everything four-footed beast was unclean. This tells me that God's principle sets up that the same way the firstborn, the child of Israel, and the firstborn of the unclean are redeemed the same way by the Lamb. You know, when I read this verse, I see my Uncle Cornelius here. You know, if you go over to Acts chapter 10, you'll find that there was an Italian man named Cornelius. And he had prayed unto God. And God had answered his prayer and said, "Your alms have come up before me." And he sent Peter down to him. He sent a vision of Peter. And he showed Peter a blanket that was let down with all manner of four-footed beasts and creatures and things of the air. And he tells Peter to rise, kill, and eat. And Peter says, "Not so, Lord, for I shall not eat that which is common and unclean." And what did God say? God said, "Call not thou common or unclean that which I have cleansed." See, Cornelius was us. He was a Gentile. He was unclean to those Jews. But the same way that the nation of Israel was to be cleansed, those born, elect of God in that natural Israel, the same way they were cleansed, it's the same way we were cleansed. But it took a price. It took the redeeming. See, the Lamb had to take our place for us to be cleansed. If we turn, we're going to go look at Galatians 3 now. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." See, just back here, as God has set up His commandment and said that only a lamb could be redeemed on behalf of these firstborn. See, God, when you go to redeem something, you don't get to set the price, do you? When I went to academy, I don't get to set the price. See, God determines what the price was, because it was His law that was transgressed. And when Adam transgressed the law, and we all fail, only God could determine what the redemptive price would be, what that ransom would be. You'll find in the New Testament that the Lord Jesus Christ was referred to twice in John 1:29-36 as the Lamb of God. You'll find in 1 Timothy 2:6 where He is the ransom. See, Jesus Christ was always the price. He was always the ransom. He was always the Lamb. And His blood always had to be shed. And because His blood was shed, it says in verse 13, "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth." We were under a curse. We were under that law of sin and death. We were held under bondage. And we were in need of a liberator. We were in need of a redeemer. You consider those firstborn over there. The firstborn can't redeem themselves. See, the Father, somebody had to lay that lamb down for them, had to supply that lamb for them that they might be redeemed. We couldn't lay the lamb down for ourselves. There was nothing we could do of our own. Our Father had to provide the lamb on our behalf. And because He has, that price has been paid. And I tell you, it's been paid in full. You know, last Sunday, I got to take my Aunt Sandra and my Aunt Polly And my sister and my brother-in-law and my kids, they came to church with me at McGee. And then we went to lunch after, and I got to buy them all lunch. You know, when I paid the bill, I paid it in full. I paid it on their behalf. You know, I don't think of one of them went back and added anything to that bill. I don't think they was worried that I hadn't paid the debt in full. How many of God's children is trying to lay something? Trying to serve God and try to lay something to that bill that He's already paid. He's already paid it. If we turn to Hebrews chapter 9 and 12. Not only has He paid it, He's paid it in full. He's paid it forever. You don't have to worry about that bill. We don't have to add anything to that payment. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood. See, He was always going to require the blood of the Lamb, the ransom. This is the payment. He entered in once into the holy place. He went in on our stead. He entered in once, and He only had to pay it once. Having obtained eternal redemption for us, that's forever. That's what eternal means, forever. You're never going to lose it. The debt's never going to be charged again. He's paid it in full on your and my, on the bride, on the elect child of God's behalf. You know, I hear so many times, Brother Joe, oh, I hope you're right. When I talk to other people from other orders, and I'm always careful when I talk about other orders, I try to be. I realize it's the grace of God that has allowed me to grow up and understand these truths. It's not of myself. But you know, sometimes I feel for my brethren that don't understand that the price has been paid. I said, oh, Brother Joe, I hope you're right. But just in case, I'm going to keep on believing. Try to do these old works. You know, every denomination, I think, that believes on the Lord Jesus Christ will say that it's by His blood. It's by His blood. We believe in the power. I know that we don't have a copyright on the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a children of God that claim His name in every denomination on this planet that I believe, truly believe in the blood of Jesus Christ. And I believe they believe it with their heart. But they've been led old false lie that they got to add something to that price that's already been paid. You know, it would have been crazy for my Aunt Sandra, my Aunt Polly, and my brother's sister to go back and add any more to that bill that I paid for them last week, wouldn't it? I'd have thought they were crazy. How are you going to pay more on a bill that's already been paid? How are you going to add anything to that? Bible tells me that it's been paid. Eternal redemption. You know, when I think about our country, when I think about sometimes we have our citizens that go over in another country and they're held captive. They're held captive for a ransom. You know, our country has a policy that we don't negotiate with terrorists. We send them over there and we destroy the enemy. You understand that Christ paid it, but He's also destroyed the enemy. That debt's never going to come back. You're never going to have to pay it. There's nothing that needs to be added to it. Having obtained eternal redemption for us. You know, sometimes when these brethren ask to tell me, Brother Joe, I hope you're right. You know, in my life, when it comes to the Arminian doctrine, works doctrine, I have never hoped that they were right. I have never hoped that that was right. You know why? Because I believe just like they do. When they're telling me that they hope that I'm right, that tells me there's fear in their heart. They've been convicted. They understand that their own righteousness isn't worthy to be compared to the righteousness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And they're scared. They hope I'm right. Because they're afraid I'm wrong, they're going to go do this other thing. See, there's fear there. You know, if I'd never grown up a Primitive Baptist, one of the ways I would know what the truth is that there would be no fear. There would be no fear because this Bible tells me there's no fear. There's no fear in perfect love. And our God loved us with a perfect love. If we go back to Luke, and we're going to look in chapter 1 at the prophecy that Zacharias talks about the Lord Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 36. Excuse me, not 36. Verse 67. It says that his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied. Now this is a prophecy of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people." Jesus redeemed his people and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, from the very beginning, since the world began, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the price, the ransom, was always the blood of the Lamb, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear. I tell you what, if you're serving the Lord without fear this morning, there's a good chance you're serving him in truth. That's the only way that we can serve him without fear is for the debt to have been paid. If the debt wasn't paid, then I'd be scared. You know, I paid off my truck last month. I'm not scared of ever having to pay that note again. And it would be crazy if I tried to go pay some more on that truck that's already been paid for. We're going to serve God. This is an assurance text to me of the truth that I believe. It's that when you understand that the debt has been paid, that you've been saved from your sins, that he has obtained eternal redemption for you, there's nothing to be added to that. Then now what can we serve God in? We serve him in love. We serve him in love because he's paid the debt on our behalf. We can don't serve him with fear. And I tell you what, that's an assurance that you know the truth, that we're able to serve him without fear because he's paid the price, he's paid the debt on our behalf and has obtained eternal redemption forever. And one day heaven's going to be our home. See, he went into the storehouse. He paid the price. And because he paid the price, now he's taking us home with him. I thank you for your good oriented attention this morning.